Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hi folks, I'm Jelaine Fenner and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today with my co-host
Tom Majeure.
And Tom, this is very exciting. We have two people on the phone with us and they are associated with Liberty Health Alliance. And I'll introduce them, but one's a doctor. And the reason why I know Dr. Lila Lewis is because years back, Brian and I went to a Pathways to Health. It was a huge thing out in L.A. It was a free medical clinic of several days. 8,000 people went through. There was 5,000 volunteers, and we're not in the health or anything, but they needed lots of volunteers, and it was just a wonderful experience to get to know her. And Scott Ritzma, what most people know him.
With Media on the Brain.
Yes. So welcome, Dr. Lila Lewis. She is president of Liberty Health Alliance.
Thank you. It's nice to be with you guys.
And I'll let you know, she's a doctor. She's an obstetrician and gynecologist. And then Scott Ritzma is the vice president of Liberty Health Alliance. And that's right. Scott, we hear you on Strong Tower Radio.
Yes, it's good to be talking to my Michigan friends again. You guys go on above and beyond at Strong Tower Radio.
That's a mutual appreciation here.
Yes, and so we're both glad you're here. Tom, why don't you have a word of prayer before we get started?
Our Father in Heaven, we're talking about life, liberty, and health. Lord, as we speak, we ask that the message that you have created and that you sustain and you have a future and a plan for each one of us comes through clear to our listeners. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
So, Dr. Lila Lewis, you're the president of Liberty Health Alliance, and I had alluded to how I had first met you was because you had a vision that God had given you doing this Pathways to Health. But now it's been expanded. That's how I think of this Liberty and Health Alliance. Is that a good way to look at that?
Yeah, you could look at it like that, to incorporate God's everlasting principle of liberty of conscience. And how health, whole person health, really is a central part of God's plan for liberty for all of us.
So, Scott and you, I mean, how did this come about? When did liberty and health come about?
Well, Scott, I'll start and then you just, let's just chime in together, because I know both of us are very excited about the history of Liberty and Health Alliance. It really began, May of 2021, if I remember correctly.
That's kind of like ground zero, wasn't it, of COVID?
It was. It was a crazy time. And in the months preceding that, you know, there were a lot of us asking a lot of questions. Of course, as a physician, I was asking some very, very deep questions specifically about, you know, treatments and prevention and etiology and all these kinds of things. Well, it came up into May, and within the Christian circles, regardless of denomination, just Christian circles in general, the question was coming up, well, whose right is it to decide for one's body what one believes they should do with their body? And that's really kind of how Liberty and Health Alliance started. Wouldn't you say, Scott? How would you like to add to that?
Absolutely. It was a dark time, times of oppression and mandates. And that's not to take a position on anybody else's choice on their medical decisions. But that's the whole idea, was individual freedom with the body temple. And so that being a conscience issue, because our body is the temple of God. So when we choose what to eat or what medications to take or not to take, vaccinations to take or not to take, it is offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. So you have language there of a living sacrifice and a temple of God. So these are issues involving the worship of God when we choose our own health choices. Very much embedded there in the first four commandments of the 10, not a matter of civil ordinance and the magistrate of Romans 13 having any authority over one's individual choice. And as a doctrinal theological matter, not to mention an evangelistic impulse, where it's there are people out there who are losing their jobs. There are people out there who are being pressured and canceled. And these were times of mass groupthink and mass psychology. And the voices that were in the wilderness saying, wait, this is not right. We've demonized a group as the other in the past. And we're hearing the same refrain about the unvaccinated being the cause of all the scourge and problems. May we go to bat for the oppressed and be a voice for the underclass of this particular epoch of oppression. And so that was where we wanted to step in and just reach out with loving arms to all people, never to take sides or demonize or further ostracize one from another, but in an effort to bring unity, not get involved in those sorts of political discourses, but simply reach out to people with that everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Scott, you know, you have a background and a love of history, and did you see history repeating itself, or was it developing and going beyond past history?
It was a repetition in kind, and I would say an increase in degree. And what I mean by that is, in the past, we've seen through witch hunts and Nazi Germany demonization of the Jews, and the demonization of certain races, Jim Crow, civil rights being withheld, etc. There's always been that tendency to look upon the other with that sort of critical lens. And it's never gone global, though. We had a global worldwide movement to stratify society in these two castes in this way. And I don't know of anything that's been that large in scope in history.
It's kind of interesting. Are we far enough away, Scott, to look at this objectively, or is emotion still pretty sensitive on these issues?
I think each individual can choose to be still and know that he is God, ask for his wisdom. Don't take this from one historian's opinion about how history goes. Go to the Word of God, extract the principles for yourself, and say, how will I conduct myself next time something like this happens? And God will lead each one of us, and we will overrule any emotional intensity that we have that might mask our reason and obscure our logic.
I was just going to come back to the health part of it. So from as a physician, and I had spent up until that point, I mean, at this point, I've spent about 25 years studying lifestyle principles. And you know, if what that really means is understanding how to use proper diet, exercise, proper lifestyle measures to not just prevent disease, but to scientifically been proven to actually treat disease. And so I felt personally that it was actually imperative that we figure out a way to not just prevent COVID, but even treat COVID using diet, lifestyle, exercise, simple things. And what was so surprising to me was that even people who believed that principle and even taught those principles, for some reason, the fear factor of COVID, the fear factor of the mandates seemed to blind people. And there was this universal confusion. And so what Liberty and Health Alliance sought to do, in addition to teaching people the importance of being able to support their rights to choose for themselves what God would have them do with their body, was to provide information to people, really as an open forum for people to have an informed consent. In medicine, we believe in informed consent. A person should not have a procedure unless they fully understand the risk benefits of that decision. And so we sought to do that, but also to tell people ways that they can use simple things to prevent and treat COVID. And now in the kind of post-emergency pandemic situation, Liberty and Health Alliance is very much focusing on not only on COVID, but even on long COVID treatments, but in disease in general, really focusing on these very simple yet profoundly deep treatment options. So that's a difference. That's a definite difference of something, an organization that had never really existed before. And the result was, quite frankly, God just truly blessed. And we've had not just national, but worldwide global attention, which, again, that's just God's praise and glory.
Well, you know, the thing I like, Liberty and Health, it's liberty, yes, because I can, it's my decision what I do with my body. And you had said a word about education. And so I'll just let everybody know I did not get vaccinated. But I did some research as what was my decision. But then I had all these people, yes, I was demonized because I did not get a vaccine. And I'm thinking, well, you want to get vaccinated? You can. And I didn't want to. Why can't I? Don't, you know, that's the liberty part. And then learning more about taking care of our health, what we can do, you know, to boost our immune system and things like that. That's what you're helping to do. You're educating people regarding their health, what they can do. That's, I'm hearing that, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, some people, you know, I personally lost my job over my desire that people should be able to have information to make an informed decision. We did not set out to, by any means, when God miraculously brought this organization into existence, it was not a planned organization. We didn't plan for this to happen. God just literally kind of made it happen. And with all of our history, you know, Scott has an amazing history in running ministries and historical evidence. And then I had, you know, a history in running other kind, you know, health organizations. And that, you know, two of us, actually our whole organization, we came together with the backgrounds that God had gave us and was really able to provide services that no other organization within, at least within our Christian circle, was doing. For example, Jonathan Zirkel is our vice president for legal affairs and legal matters. And he spearheaded the many, if not hundreds, if not thousands of people getting exemptions from their work environment. So God really used our background. But what I was going to tell you was something that kind of came out of this was because we felt it was so important that people have information to make an educated decision. I can't tell you how many people actually told me, you are killing people. You have killed people at different organizations or events that we may have attended. You know, now everyone is sort of, well, it's not really what happened. But my point is, as Scott already mentioned, when we look to the future, you know, we've got to look to the past. We can't forget what's happened in the past. And so I think one of the things to learn from this experience is we need to not demonize people, and we certainly should never limit information, because that results in what we just went through.
You know, it's interesting. What I heard you saying is that Liberty and Health Alliance basically filled the gap, a need. There was confusion and there was a lack of information for informed consent, and that's what Liberty and Health did. It just developed to fill a present need and ongoing that we can learn from that history.
Absolutely. And we weren't alone in that. There's a church in Berrien Springs, a good sized church with strong pastoral leadership. And they hosted an event in the summer of 2021, a few months after our founding as an organization. And that brought in top medical minds who were questioning the status quo of this rollout. And through that, we've had the privilege, Dr. Leela's really been networking with, I mean, we're talking about her having the privilege to do Arizona State Senate hearings and testifying at those in that network, at that echelon with household names. I mean, we're talking about the biggest names that have gone viral in questioning the whole COVID narrative. And one of these individuals publicly, just a couple of months ago, it gave me chills. The pastors gave him a great controversy. Dr. Leela did. I did. If your listeners aren't familiar with the book, The Great Controversy, get one today and read it tonight, and keep reading it till you're done.
Hey,
amazing book.
Scott, just letting you know,
yes,
Strong Tower Radio gives that book out for free. If anybody would like to have Great Controversy, give us a call, 877-278-5512, and ask for the book, The Great Controversy. It will change your life. It did mine.
Mine too. So Dr. Peter McCullough gets up and he says in a live audience of not just Christians, but later on in secular audiences, saying the same thing. The writer of this book saw the future we are living in today.
Amen.
Because it's the book of Revelation. It's prophetic teaching. And so that's really the impulse of the Ministry, Liberty, and Health Alliance. It's reaching out, helping those who are being persecuted, and it is reaching out, helping those who need healing. It's liberty and health for the end goal of eternal life through Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross in their behalf. And so you start hearing the three angels' messages, if you will, of Revelation 14 going out through the stones are crying out. People who you never would have thought would even read that book are reading it. What was it? Five times the end of the book he read and stated this emphatically, not under duress, but voluntarily with audiences of all different kinds now. To promote these ideas further than we ever could have, because we didn't have that kind of notoriety and name recognition.
And I want to just add one quick thing. So as we kind of progressed through the pandemic, we began to have big conferences. We had our first at Chase Field Ballpark. It was phenomenal. God blessed tremendously. Massive, both local and our global audience with our YouTube and our I should say our online audience, which, by the way, if anyone wants to check out our online videos and different materials, it's libertyandhealth.org, and that and is spelled out A-N-D. But I would encourage you to do that. You can watch all kinds of things and learn a lot more about the organization. But we began to reincorporate the importance of, again, providing healing to the people. There's so much in teaching people how, not just, you know, giving a verbal explanation of a situation, but actually physically providing healing. So we had free medical and dental and vision and surgical services at our Phoenix event just recently. We had a plastic surgeon and a hand surgeon, and they were doing carpal tunnel releases, and our dentists were doing extractions and root canals and all sorts of amazing things, and free glasses and eye examinations, and you name it was taking place, but all with the understanding. Everyone is invited to more, that Jesus has so much more. And of course, that book, The Great Controversy. And then in the evening time, we had ongoing meetings that the patients and the volunteers were encouraged to come to learn how to exercise God's given liberty, not just to us physically, but mentally and spiritually. So it's been a very exciting adventure. And I think I'm just excited to see where God leads us next.
So I have a question. In fact, I just heard this weekend at church, one of the doctors that was in Phoenix, Dr. Sandra Blanchard, she gave a little synopsis about what happened out there in Phoenix. So are you going to be doing more of these?
Absolutely. Scott, do you want to give a little snippet of what we're looking forward to in 2024? Because this is what we're looking to do in 2024 is something that literally has never been done before. So, Scott, you want to give a little kind of a little tidbit of that?
Well, it's kind of fun that we're having this interview just a couple of days after we you know, our leadership is all over the map geographically. So we have calls, we have Zoom calls, we gather together, we brainstorm, we pray. We seek the Lord's wisdom. And what really has the leading as of lately, the Lord's leading has been that we're in times where people are engaged, interested, and discussing matters of religious liberty and open to prophecy like never before. I don't know if any of the folks in your listening audience have tried doing outreach, sharing prophetic truths right now. It's a whole lot easier than it was 5 years ago. People are going, yeah, these are interesting times. Tell me what's happening from the Bible. We're doing prophecy series actually right now as we record this interview. And the attendance is phenomenal. But with what angle, with what perspective? Where do we stand now? What is culture like today? And how do we address the issues, scratch the itch, if you will, that people are wondering about, and how, and then answer, this is how that relates to prophecy. How does America relate to prophecy? Because people see America as doomed. I mean, liberty is on the altar, and what happened to the mores and norms of a culture we thought we understood? And is there even going to be a future for a society of liberty? So people have fears and doubts and questions, and Bible prophecy provides the answer. And so using all of that as a springboard into the message of the book of Revelation, which is really our burning passion. I know it is Strong Tower Radio's too, the prophetic message of the nearness of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. And so how do we talk in the language people are talking, address the questions they are asking, and then that is the entering wedge in sharing the prophecies of Revelation.
And what we're going to be looking at, just real quick, I wanted to add this just to what Scott just said. So again, the 2024 elections are, mm-hmm. as we're kind of coming out of this pandemic, if you will, and this era of liberty of conscience being threatened, our health being dictated to us by others, we want to continue that, but we want to continue it with good news. So we're coming into the 2024 elections. People are asking, where does America stand in this? As part of that, we're going to continue this continued good news and emphasis on providing medical, physical healing to the people. But at the same time, looking at what's taking place prophetically with the America in prophecy, specifically looking at Revelation and Daniel 7, and how does this all relate to America? So we are really excited. There's a lot of ideas right now as far as locations are concerned, but we're expecting 2024 to, by combining this massive, continued, massive, free physical healing in combination with studying a topic that so many Christians are wondering about, America and prophecy, we anticipate that there's going to be an overwhelming response nationally, if not globally as well.
Well, I just am loving this, Tom, because, you know, Jesus does care about our physical health as well as our spiritual health. And liberty, health, I mean, they do go together.
Freedom of conscience.
Yeah, that's right. And so your organization is a 501c3.
501c3, nonprofit,
yeah.
Yes.
Nonprofit, yeah.
People can donate and receive tax deductions.
Okay. So, and if somebody wanted to learn more about you guys, or if they did want to make a donation, because what you're doing does cost money. I mean, especially if you're doing, you know, these health, having dentists come and do things. Yeah, I mean, you have to have, you know, product to be able to help people.
Absolutely.
Then they need to go to libertyandhealth.org. And so it's liberty, the word and, health.org. And they can learn more about you guys, what you're doing. Maybe, it sounds like, Tom, they're planning to have something in 2024 somewhere.
We have probably, there's going to be, well, for sure there's one. We're looking at potentially two or three different events in 2024 in prelude, if you will, to the 2024 elections in November. So we're looking at, again, no political candidate or specific party. But because there's such an interest right now in where does America stand in all this, it's a perfect opportunity to continue to emphasize God's plan of healing at a time when he wants us to know more about what the plans for America.
Well, you know, the one thing I felt about the pandemic, it was the fear. And, you know, you guys had mentioned that about it. People were so fearful. And I think about God all the time. God is love. And doesn't the Bible tell us love casts out fear? I mean, and so this is why liberty, I think, is wonderful, because God wants us to be able to have freedom of choice, freedom of conscience. That's what you said, Tom. And that's what liberty is all about. And then the health, I mean, they do go hand in hand. I'm so glad you guys have, you know, got this organization. You have like you'd mentioned, I mean, you're Lili, you're president, Scott, you're vice president, but then you had mentioned Jonathan
Zirkel.
That's right. His last name. And he's a lawyer. He's involved with you. Do you have some other people that are involved?
Yeah, so we have a whole team of people, other physicians and attorneys and dentists and historians and pastors. It's quite a team that God's really pulled together with like-minded people that feel that these two principles are really foundational to God and His love.
So if there's
Amen, and that's really the key, is we want to reflect God's love. We want to reveal His character. God is not a God of force.
That's right. And I guess I'm just thinking, if there's any listeners out there, especially maybe in the medical field, that want to be part of you guys, know more about, they need to go to the website, correct? And they can get in contact with either one of you?
Yes, please. Please go to libertyandhealth.org. And I don't know, Scott, if you have any other contact information you wanted to provide.
If folks want to email me personally, feel free. It's scottritsema@gmail.com, R-I-T-S-E-M-A. And anything about Liberty and Health, if I can't answer, I'll forward it on to physicians and lawyers. If it's about Media on the Brain seminars, you know, I can still line those up. I'm still doing that full time. But this is just a wonderful labor of love to work with a team like Dr. Lila and others.
We just got a couple minutes. What do you want to leave our listeners with?
Well, I guess I can start real quick. I would say, no matter what comes next, no one knows the future except for God. Whatever that is, whatever comes next, whether it's a health controversy or it's a worship controversy, if we stick close to Jesus and we follow Him, He will help us, He will lead us through, and He will give us the wisdom to know what the right decision is. So I would say, please search your Bibles, seek Jesus daily, and He will never leave you.
You know, you mentioned earlier about, because of the COVID, you lost your job. And that can happen to people. That's where people have fear. So I like what you just said. They need to spend time with God, search their Bible, because God will lead them. We can't be afraid, like, yeah, to lose our job, even though it's very scary. But God is there to provide for us, people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure.
And Scott?
He has not given us, the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind.
Yes.
So when we reason through, come now, let us reason together. A sound mind is the opposite of fear. Love is the opposite of fear. Perfect love drives out all fear. So when the signs of the times happen all around you, listener, and you are tempted to, the Bible says men's hearts will fail them for fear, yeah, of what's coming upon the earth. You know what the next phrase is in the book of Luke? Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is coming soon. So just focus on Him. Focus on Him and let all the noise around you go, and you will be in that place, secret place of the Most High, preparing and prepared for His soon coming.
Yes, folks, Jesus is coming soon. And please go to libertyandhealth.org. Check out their website. And you need to know how to take care of yourself physically with your health. And that, like, having a sound mind, that's what most of us need, because a lot of people out there don't have that nowadays. Well, we're very happy that you guys have joined us. And you'll have to stay in contact with us to let us know, so we can promote any of your programs or conferences you're going to be having, especially these maybe health clinics. We'd love to let our
Absolutely.
Listeners know. Because even though we're mostly in Michigan, a little bit in Illinois by radio, we are streaming. So this does go out all over the world.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Lila. And Scott, and folks, you will continue to hear Scott more on the radio.
Hi, folks. Jelaine Fenner here. We are definitely living in uncertain times, and for some of us, it's scary. Signs of the times are everywhere. Jesus is coming back soon. Read Revelation chapter 22. Jesus says, "Surely I am coming quickly." We at Strong Tower Radio have a free book for you called The Great Controversy. Go to the back of the book and read chapters 35 to 42. It'll help you understand the times we're living in and what's ahead. This book even has 800 historical quotes and 1,200 Bible quotes. I love this book. Call Strong Tower Radio today, 231-468-2087, and ask for The Great Controversy while supplies last. And if we don't answer, please leave a message asking for The Great Controversy with your name, address, and phone number. That's 231-468-2087. On Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Welcome to Strong Tower Radio. I'm your host, Tom Majeure. Are you in love with Christ? Our guest today is in love with Christ. His name is Tony Castambono. And Tony, you are in love with Christ. What is that?
Amen. Well, hey, thanks so much, Tom, for having me today. I have always known about Jesus. I have gone to church my whole life, but it wasn't until about 6 years ago when I started to fall in love with Jesus for the very first time. Let me explain. My wife and I had just moved to New York. We got two boys, and I was at a hotel room. We hadn't moved in. We did not have a house yet. And the Lord said, "Tony, I want to spend more time with you. Do you want to spend more time with me?" And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I had done that over the course of my life. I had gone up and down, right? I want to spend more time, but life gets in the way. Things get in the way. Busyness gets in the way. And I was like, "But Lord, how do I do this? How does it work? Like, how can I do this in a way that's going to stick?" And the Lord said, "Let me show you." And he gave me 7 building blocks to follow. And I'd like to share that today. And I said, "Aha, that makes sense." So I wrote it all down. I said, "I'm going to dedicate and start spending 60 minutes every day with Jesus and see what happens." And over the remaining part of my life since then, that was 2017, my life completely transformed and took me on a love relationship that I will never, ever look back. For example, the very first two building blocks are very fundamental when we think about human relationships: listening and talking. Very fundamental. And oftentimes we just, let's go to the Bible and read the Bible. Very important. But I really believe that in growing a relationship with Jesus, he wants us to listen to him. And he wants to talk with us, and we want to talk with him, just as a friend talks with a friend. And if I think about what really hit home, is I started to think about, as God was directing my path here, says, "Tony, when you started dating your wife, what building blocks did you follow?" And it was like an aha moment. I thought, "Oh, I should start applying the same building blocks in my relationship with Jesus Christ that I did with my wife, who went from a friendship to dating to engagement, ultimately marriage." And I'd be happy to kind of share those building blocks, but it completely transformed my life. And I fell in love with Jesus for the very first time in an intimate way. And I am so excited to be here talking with you about that and some other things God has done for me.
Well, Tony, why don't we do that listening and talking right now? Would you lead us in a word of prayer?
Be happy to do that. Dear Heavenly Father, you have been so good and gracious to me. You have loved me my whole life. And I thank you so much for reaching down over about 6 years ago and saying, "I want to spend more time with you. I want you to invest in me like you invested in your wife and your spouse." So thank you so much for what you did for me, and may what I share give you honor and glory. As I share some of the stories you've done in my life, may they be a blessing to the listeners today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tony, I think a number of our listeners related to your first part of saying that you've known about God, you grew up in a Christian home, but this relationship sounds good, but how does that happen?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think it takes time, right? We only have 24 hours. I can't, whether I'm rich or poor, no matter what money I make or don't make, I can't get more time. And what I realized is that I needed to make a dedication, a commitment to spending more time with Jesus. And I had tried that in college. I had tried that over the years, but I had focused, I think, in a more one-dimensional, two-dimensional relationship. And just think about this from a friendship perspective, or for those of the listeners who are married, if we only talked with our wife, but we didn't listen to our wife or our, you know, our spouse, the relationship isn't going to go over very well. Or if we thought we only focused on maybe doing things for your spouse, but we didn't have fun times together, we didn't do special things, we didn't write and talk. If we didn't focus on those other dimensionals from a relationship perspective, that relationship is going to get stagnant. And I believe over time it can grow. And I think for me, from a faith perspective, is it was kind of a lot of ups and downs, but it wasn't really growing in a relationship, intimate growing way that I was missing out on. And when God reached down and said, Tony, do you want to spend more time with me? And I said, yes, how do I do that? And he directed my path through these seven relationship building blocks. It just completely took it on a whole nother level. Got me by surprise, but it made a lot of sense. I said, I can listen, I can talk, I can read, and I can do these things. And I said, Lord, but how do I make this so it's personal and intimate with you? And there were some things that didn't make sense, but as I spent time with the Lord and he directed my path, for example, let me just give you, you know, having fun is something that my wife and I did as we were dating. We did a lot of that, right, in college. And I said, well, Lord, how do I have fun with you? What does that look like? And this is what he convicted me. Do you like to sing? Well, I'll be honest, I'm not going to sing here today because that's not my talent. But when I was alone with the Lord, I like to sing and it draws me close. And think about if you've ever attended a choir or you've gone to a performance or you've gone to church maybe, and you sing with other believers, other friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, there's a closeness. You feel more intimate. And so I would sing in my one-on-one time with the Lord and I had fun doing that. And it was just something I started to apply in my walk with Jesus that just was life-changing. I'll share one other thing. Memorizing scripture. We've probably all heard that memorizing scripture is a good thing to do.
That's the thing that most people avoid.
So memorizing scripture was one of the building blocks. And I wrote down memory verses that were really meaningful to me. And I know the Holy Spirit was leading all along. But memorizing scripture and journaling were the two building blocks that had the most profound impact as I started to fall in love with Jesus in a deep, intimate relationship way.
It's interesting that we have a lesson study at our church worldwide, and they call it a memory verse. And then one of the pastors points out that we usually say, let's read the memory verse. We don't memorize the memory verse. So let's work down these points. How many points have we touched on so far?
I think we've touched on three or four, but I'd be happy to kind of go through each one. And if you want me to dive into
Please
any of the
do.
Ones, be happy to do that. So the first two relationship building blocks is listening and talking. And then 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 are reading the Bible. Number 4, journaling or writing notes, love notes. So when I was dating my wife, I would email her, I would write letters on special occasions, and that's an intimate way to build a relationship. And so journaling, when I started this 60-minute journey with Jesus, I journaled every day for the first 8-9 months. And as I look back and I said, did you keep doing it, Tony? I didn't. And that's one regret I have, that I wish I had not stopped. Because once you stop something, it can be hard to pick it back up. But what was incredible about the journaling, and those, there may be some listeners, oh, I don't like to journal. Just take a minute and just write a few sentences down. When I look back, I can see what God was doing in my life, the trials, the struggles. I mean, this is a personal journal that I was sharing it out to the Lord. Lord, I'm upset about this, or I'm angry with this, or here's what happened in my life today, or I'm struggling with this. And then I go back and I see what God did, because he worked in my life to take things I was struggling with. And I'll tell you one thing. There may be listeners out there, because I was one of them, and I can share a personal story with an addiction I had that I think would be free to share. And there is a lot of focus and a lot of things out there, self-help things, right? I know that Jesus is the answer. and I can testify to what he did in my life. When we start to fall in love with the who, he takes care of the what. I don't care what addiction, what struggle you have. If there is something you are struggling with, focus on Jesus. Dive deep into a relationship, and he can take care of any trial, any struggle you might have. For example, I struggled with addiction to caffeine. And hey, some people may not struggle with that, but that was a struggle. I said, Lord, will you help me with that? And what I came to realize was that I didn't really want to let go of the addiction. And he gave me a glimpse of what that life without that addiction would be. And after I'd been praying for a number of years, finally it was gone. And I was like, wow, the addiction's gone. Praise the Lord. But I went back and I had a soda beverage that had caffeine in it. And I was just treating myself on my way home. And that night I was trying to fall asleep. And I've been thankful for my life that I've been able to go right asleep when I lay my head down on the pillow for the most part. And I could not fall asleep. I was like, what is wrong? I mean, I've had caffeine before going to bed, no problem at all. And the Holy Spirit reached down. This was not audible, but it was direct to my heart and said, Tony, why did you start drinking caffeinated beverages again when I took that addiction away? And it hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, wow, I am so sorry. Now, I'm not here to say that caffeine is a sin or not a sin. It was an addiction I had that I wanted help from. And I know God can do that with any addiction, anything, but I hadn't been willing to surrender it fully. But God in his mercy had taken it away and given me a glimpse. I said, Lord, I'm done. I'm not going to have any caffeinated beverages. And thanks and praise the Lord, I haven't since then. But that was just an example of, as I started to fall in love with Jesus, he started to take away things that I asked for help with and things I didn't ask for to help me in my relationship with him, because I was giving him more of my time.
Well, have you touched all seven of those items?
Yeah, so the other items after memorizing or journaling was praying, singing, and memorizing scripture. So let me just talk a little bit about praying. You think about a relationship between a man and a woman, there is intimacy, right? There's physical intimacy, there's emotional intimacy, spiritual intimacy you can have. And so as I thought about the building blocks between my wife and I, as we went from friendship ultimately to marriage, intimacy was something that was really important. And so when I thought about how does that work from a spiritual perspective, the Lord led me to prayer. Now, I think prayer is a very intimate thing. And that should be between you and God. Now, if you've wronged somebody and you need to make something right, maybe you should go to your friend or a family member and tell them you're sorry, you know, maybe pray with them. And so intimacy or prayer was that last building block that I followed. And so I would pour out my heart to God in writing, journaling, and I also talked out loud. But there is a difference in my perspective to talking as a friend and praying and like crying out to God. And for example, if you look in the book of Psalms, David has prayers that he is crying out to God for help, or he's crying out because he's made a mistake and he's crying out and saying, I'm sorry.
I got a question that just hit me. You talked about journaling and then you talked about praying. How did we get David's prayers? When did he write those prayers out? Was that after the fact, or was that as he was, maybe he wrote down his prayers and then shared it? You ever think about that?
No, that's an interesting question. I haven't thought about that, but I know I've done both.
Sometimes writing helps clarify the thought and such. Tell about your love or relationship with God a little further.
Yeah, sure. So let me just tell you, because it wasn't all just easy, you know, within the first 30 days I started this, I feel like the enemy was really attacking me and trying to get me discouraged, because I think he knew that this was going to work. And as I looked back in my journal, I'm like, I just want to give up. I don't want to do this. This was that you may have experienced the runner's wall, right? If you've ever trained for a marathon or a 5K, You got to get past that wall when you go out on that race. And you think about what in the New Testament, Paul talks about running that race with endurance. And I believe that whether you are a new follower of Jesus Christ or you've followed him all your life and you need a spark, this was the spark that I needed. And as I started running that race, I got a little discouraged within the first 30 days, but I kept at it. I said, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow the principles, the building blocks. I'm going to pray. And one other thing that I didn't mention yet is these building blocks, there's different ways people can follow them. But what I thought was really helpful for me is I didn't just do one every day. I tried to be multi-dimensional each day. So I would do at least two or three. And I kind of kept track of that because I'm just, you know, just from an analytical perspective, I like to do that. So I could look back, what did I focus on yesterday? Well, I'm going to focus on something different today. And so I think getting past that 30-day window, that wall, then from there, just that relationship just got deeper, more intimate. Memorizing scripture. Think about this, Tom. Jesus has written many love letters to all of us. But how often do we read them? And then how often do we then memorize them? For example, as I started to memorize scripture, the first scripture that I memorized was in Proverbs. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So maybe a well-known Bible verse. That's the first one that I memorized. And just to add one more thing on singing, I took that verse and started singing it. And what I can share from a listener's perspective, if you take some scriptures and you try to put it to your own words, I believe that there will be things that you'll learn that you didn't learn before. As I started learning, singing that verse, the word all just jumped off the page. So when we start to focus in these different building blocks, I think it helps to complete a well-rounded relationship and grow. And that's what it did for me. Because I memorized scripture. In the first month, I think I memorized 25 scripture. I had never done that before. I mean, that for me, that was a lot. And maybe for our listener, three or four is a lot. The important thing is to start. And as I started to fall in love with Jesus, I think it was significantly impacted because I started to know him intimately. And when I memorized the scripture, it was like there was a relationship that was getting closer and closer.
I wonder if memorizing things that are important to you, if there's a text of the Bible that really strikes you and it's helpful in reading it, it might even be more powerful if you memorize it. So choosing a verse that is close and near dear to your heart, not just because it's on somebody else's list, it needs to be number one on your list.
Amen. And just to add a quick note to that, because I think this might be helpful for the listeners, is as I was going through different things from a spiritual, emotional, what was going on at work, I would go online and I like to use Google and I would just say, looking for a Bible verse with such and such a topic. And then there would be a whole bunch of, you know, lists, and I would go in and I'd be like, that one's speaking to me. I would write that down. That one's speaking to me. I need that one. And the versions varied. Sometimes it was NIV, sometimes New King James. It didn't matter. It was the verse that was speaking to my heart. It says, Tony, you need to memorize this. And I also was proactive. Like, I want to learn more scripture, but I would pick a certain topic and I would then go through and handpick Bible verses. And I think in my memorization booklet, I have like 70 or so right now, but it's all handpicked. And I think that's really important point, Tom, that you make, that pray, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you, and he will.
I could imagine that if you're dealing with depression, then you need to deal with memory verses that help with depression. Or right. If you need to have faith, maybe find scriptures that deal with faith, and that just fortifies you. When you talk about journaling, that's a very interesting experience. I went to a church and they were doing a journaling every day, a prayer journal, and write those down in categories of family and then widen up that circle to friends, to church, to other issues. And that has been very powerful. When you're talking about praying, you know, we had a pastor that was had great experience with prayer. It was very important to him. And he led us, he said, come this afternoon and let us pray for an hour. I had never prayed for an hour. And my experience was, is the maybe somebody else shared this with me, but I found it to be true. The first 5 to 10 minutes are very selfish prayers. They're about me. And but I still have another 50 minutes to go. So now I have to open up that aperture. And as we did that, I started praying for other people and other needs. Eventually, before we knew it, we'd prayed 90 minutes. And I'd never only prayed 60 minutes. But time on task and just praying, widening that aperture.
Amen.
Do you have some stories that you would like to tell our listeners that through your ministry has been beneficial?
Yeah, I've got a couple of stories, but let me just give a little background to the ministry that I'm involved with, have the privilege to lead. So this whole relationship experience with Christ that just catapulted and transformed my life started in the summer of 2017. And a couple years later, I said, Lord, you've done so much for me. What can I do? I want to give back. Like, I believe God has something he wants to do through all of us. We all have talents, we have skills, and he's just looking for us to do that. And not, you know, he's patiently waiting. So as I prayed a prayer, I cried out to God for about 4, 5, 6 weeks. I said, what can I do for you? He put a burden on my heart that I wasn't so sure about. I said, no, I must have heard you wrong. Can I do something else for you? And it wouldn't go away. And what that burden was he said, I want you to start a magazine. I said, I don't want to start a magazine. Give me something else. But when the Lord asks you to do something, and sometimes if it sounds crazy, it's probably from the Lord. You should always test anything you believe the Lord's convicting you in Scripture. You should always talk to, you know, friends that you trust that are followers of Christ. And that's what I did. And about 5, 6 months later, as I started writing these thoughts down and what would be the vision of this magazine, what's the purpose, I had a real strong readiness, understanding that I had not been ready for Jesus to come. And I have to, you know, like I have known about Jesus my whole life. I've gone to church since I was a young person, but I don't think I was ready. And it, you know, and so I thought, well, what if there's other people like me that think they're ready? But they're not ready. Maybe their relationship with Jesus. And I'm not here to judge, not at all. But I said, I want to give back and I want to have a magazine that encourages people through the power of God's word. It enlightens people through testimonies, through miracles, that God is still just as real today as he was in Bible times. Like, I read Bible stories, but Jesus wants an experience with us. And that's something I had missed until just the last 5 or 6 years. So I fast forward after 6 months, the Lord had been working and there was a small team, about 5 people. And I said, Lord, I need more people, because if we're going to have a magazine with all these different sections I believe you want, I need more volunteers. And I fasted and prayed, and I believe the Lord really blessed, because 3 months later, there was a team of 30 volunteers from all over the world. This was March of 2020. Right before COVID, you know, had happened. So this is all just digital evangelism preparatory work happening in the background. And then 3 months later, in July of 2020, Time to Get Ready Ministries launched. TimeToGetReady.org is where you can find our ministry website. But the whole purpose of it is to give back, to share Christ, share encouraging stories around prayer, around miracles, around wellness, around Bible promises. One thing that we talked a little bit about, Scripture, right? What I have learned, especially since this, is that when we pray, I believe God wants us to claim these promises back to him, to say, Lord, you said in your word that if we, you know, there's nothing you can't do. For example, in Jeremiah 32, it says, O Lord God, as you have created the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm, nothing is impossible. Nothing is too hard for you. And in wisdom, in James 1, God talks about, if you need wisdom, ask me and I'll give it to you. So Bible promises is one of my favorite sections, because I think God wants us to claim that on a regular basis, and he'll do some amazing things.
Tell us more about your ministry and what you have to offer our listeners.
Yeah, sure. So Time to Get Ready Ministries, you can find us at www.timetogetready.org. We've been around for about 3 years. We publish articles. There's free. There's no subscriptions needed. You can find miracle stories. We publish...
Kind of sounds like guideposts on the internet.
So you can find stories on prayer. We also have a plant-based recipe section for those who might be interested in healthy recipes. We have some amazing people that are writers, that are cooks, and these are not professional chefs, but these are followers of Christ that really want to share Jesus and healthy recipes with people around the country and around the world. We also have a section on Bible promises and prophecy. I know I did talk about Bible promises, but the prophecy is something I think is, I believe Jesus is going to come really soon. And I believe we want to know, what does the Bible say about Jesus' second coming? What does the Bible say about things in the past that have happened? And then we also have a core section, because our ministry is called Time to Get Ready. We have one called Get Ready. And within that, you'll find our monthly e-magazine. So if you wanted to just get an e-magazine right to your inbox, you can sign up for that there. And then we also have, articles that are around, what's God doing in your life? Is there discipleship around just humility and surrender? I believe that pride is probably not something that we talk about. There's a lot of sins out there. And this is not to focus about the sins, but there's the focus on, asking God, what in me do you want to clean out of me? And I think humility and surrender is not an easy thing. I know it's not for me to be able to surrender and say, God, you can have all of me. It's something I think we all want to do. And then the Holy Spirit. About 4 or 5 years ago, I read a book. I don't know if you've heard of this, Tom. It's called Steps to Personal Revival by Helmut Heibel. He joined our team 3 years ago as well. So he has a book that's, you can find that on our website. It's free. You have the PDF version. But if you've never read about the Holy Spirit or the importance of the Holy Spirit, I would highly encourage all listeners to check it out. The book is called Steps to Personal Revival. I read this 4 or 5 years ago, and I said, wow, I am an infant in the importance of the Holy Spirit. And I have been praying on a regular basis. And one promise that in Zechariah 10:1, it says, ask the Lord for rain in the time of the latter rain. And I won't go through the whole verse there in Zechariah 10:1, but I believe that God wants his people to be asking on a daily basis for the Holy Spirit to do the work that, we need done in our lives.
Well, Tony, it sounds like this website is problem solving solutions to many questions that people are asking. It sounds like a positive, good resource. And if our listeners need an uplift, need some direction, maybe their life is less than fulfilling as they just know that there's something missing. Sounds like you got some resources. Time to getready.org, and there's a lot of resources, downloads, or videos.
Yeah, so we have most of our content right now is through just digitally where you can read stories. We also launched a YouTube channel last year. So if you like YouTube videos, it was focused on Bible promises. We did a Bible promise series where we have like 10 to 15 videos, short videos, 2 to 5 minutes, where people are sharing their favorite Bible promise, what it means to them, and the impact it's had in their life and the lives of others. So really powerful, just... my youngest son, he shared a testimony of what God did in his life when the Lord calmed a storm that was really scaring him. And so from young to old, we have people that are volunteering and sharing the power of God's love when we claim promises and pray to him.
Sounds like a place to go. Listeners, it's timetogetready.org. Check it out. And I'm Tom Mazur for Strong Tower Radio. God bless you. And may God meet your deepest need. Bye now.